Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. But who do you say that I am? Whenever we read the Gospels, we are confronted with this question, the same question that Jesus asked of Peter long ago. For when we hear Jesus' words, when we hear of his deeds, we must consider his identity, who he is. In other words, the work of Jesus leads us to ponder the person of Jesus. And this question is something that must be answered by every one of us individually. Neither parent nor spouse, friend nor sibling can answer for you. But who do you say that I am? In the hearing of the Gospels, Jesus stands before you with this very question. You must give an answer on which you are willing to stake your entire existence, even unto death itself. In the first place, in miracle accounts, just as the one we heard this morning, Jesus proves himself to be true God. When Jesus shows his authority over wind and wave, food and drink, sickness and death, demons and unclean spirits, and, as in today's lesson, deafness and speech impediments, Jesus demonstrates that he has an authority that can only be claimed by God. For it was prophesied by God in the Old Testament, as we ourselves heard this morning, that in that day, the deaf shall hear the words of a book. And similarly, in Isaiah chapter 35, it is prophesied that God will come and save his people, and then the deaf ears will be unstopped. And so Jesus acts with divine power, doing things that God not only can do, but what God said that he alone would do. Jesus acts to fulfill divine prophecy. He acts as God, taking God's role and responsibility. And the people recognize this. And that's why they come and they beg Jesus to lay his hand on their friend who was deaf and had a speech impediment. That's why the people are still astonished beyond all measure, even though Jesus did exactly what they wanted him to do, what they expected him to do. And that's why they respond with a hymn of praise, with words that can only be spoken properly of God alone. He has done all things well. For about whom can it be said that all things are done well, except by God alone? Certainly not about any mere mortal man. Sometimes we manage to do a few things well, but God does all things well. Even from the very beginning of creation, when he saw everything that he had made, and he said it was very good. At that time, he created all things by his word alone. Here he opened the afflicted man's ears and released his tongue by his word alone. And though he put his fingers into the man's ears and after spitting touched his tongue, which are not insignificant, as we'll see in a moment, it was only when Jesus spoke his word, only when he said, "Ephatha," that is, "be opened," that the man was healed. There's only one word that is powerful and active to accomplish exactly what it says. That is the living word of God. It's for this reason that John, the evangelist, calls these various miracles of Christ signs, for they point to his divine identity as the Son of God. And yet at the same time, Jesus is proven in this text and throughout the Gospels not simply to be true God, but also true man. Though many times Jesus simply spoke and the miracle was done, such as when he healed the Syrophoenician woman's daughter or raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus often accompanied his miracles with physical action as well. And so he stretched out his hand and he touched the leper to heal him. The woman with the discharge of blood was healed when she touched Jesus' garments. Jairus' daughter was raised when Jesus took her by the hand and spoke his word. And here in today's gospel, he put his fingers into the deaf man's ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. Now, whether that means that he spat on the ground first or spat on his fingers and put them on the man's tongue, or Maybe even he spoke directly on the man's tongue. We're not sure. But either way, whatever the action may have been, there's no getting around it. Jesus shows himself to be true man. True hands, true fingers, true saliva glands. A man who is unashamed to invade your bodily personal space with his body, his person. Will poke and prod and touch. He was not afraid of a little earwax or a little spittle. So the Jesus who speaks with the authority of God, who acts with the power of God, who fulfills the prophecies of God, does so in human flesh and blood, as a true man living among true men. He uses his real flesh and blood to heal diseased flesh and blood. He uses his real fingers to open the stopped ears of the deaf. He uses his real tongue to make saliva to release the bound tongue of the speech-impeded man. Again, there's no getting around it. Jesus is really, truly, physically man, just as he is really, truly, divinely God. Now, some might assume that's the answer. That's the resolution to the question. Who do you say that I am? Jesus is true God and true man. See it in the scriptures, it's evident in our gospel lesson today. That must be enough, right? Well, no, that's not enough. That's not all. If that is the final answer to the question of Jesus' identity, that is not enough to save you. Regarding such an answer, James says in his epistle that even the demons believe this and they shudder in fear. So it is not saving faith to say that Jesus is true God and true man. That is a historical fact. Yes, it is a testament to the blindness of fallen humanity that many reject just the plain historical fact. But no, it is not enough to simply believe and believe that Jesus was born, suffered, and even was raised again. No, rather, one must believe and confess the purpose, the effect of this history, that is, the forgiveness of your sins. In other words, when Christ asks, "But who do you say that I am?" saving faith, worked by the Holy Spirit, says this: I believe that Jesus Christ, true God begotten of the Father from all eternity, and also true man born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me. This is the faith that saves you. This is the faith that justifies you. That Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is your Lord. That for his sake, your sins are forgiven. And that justification is freely given to you. That the promises of God are for you. That same heart of Jesus that was filled with compassion for the man who was deaf and had a speech impediment is filled with compassion for you and for all of your needs of body and soul. That the same mouth that sighed, even groaned, over his fallen creation and the suffering of his dear child sighs and groans with you in your weakness, sorrow, and pain. That the same voice which said Ephatha to the man, opening his ears and releasing his tongue, speaks to you today, opening your ears to his word, releasing your tongue to sing his praise, loosing you from bondage to sin, and finally, on the last day, freeing you from your tomb to stand before him in a resurrected body and soul and to live with him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Such was the faith of the deaf man's friends. They believed that Jesus Christ was true God, yes, for they believed he had the power and the authority to heal their companion. They believed that Jesus Christ was true man, yes, for they believed that they could approach him in his flesh and blood, and that he had a hand that he could lay on the man. But above all, they believed that he was their Lord, a kind and merciful Lord, who would have compassion on their friend in his mortal suffering, who loved him as a dear child, who would be willing to heal him in the way that he knew to be best. And this kind of faith is never put to shame. The Lord Jesus Christ, the gracious and merciful Lord, heard and answered their prayer. And they likewise responded in faith, saying, He has done all things well. This is the faith in which we have gathered today, that Jesus Christ is true God, yes, and that he is true man, yes, but that he is our Lord, that he innocently and bitterly suffered and died on the cross, that God the Father would be gracious and merciful to us, poor sinful beings, that he commands that the forgiveness of sins be proclaimed in his name, that he who takes away the sins of the world and sits at the right hand of the Father indeed has mercy on us and hears our prayers, both for ourselves, for the church, and for the world. And he feeds us his true body and true blood in the sacrament, that these are given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. Now, apart from this saving faith, the scriptures which testify of Christ cannot be understood. For the scriptures are the testimony that God is for us, that Jesus Christ is your Lord. And that's why the Lord promises his people of old in the book of Isaiah that he would provide fresh joy and exaltation for the meek and the poor, that he would work in the midst of the house of Jacob, among them, that he would redeem and restore even those who would go astray in spirit and murmur. This is also why Paul in the New Testament speaks of having confidence through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. One has such confidence toward God when one believes that he is for me, that the same divine hand that once carved letters of law on stone according to the ministry of death became incarnate, was pierced by nails for sinners who violated that law, bringing about a ministry of the Spirit and righteousness that forgives sins through the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. If the true God is thus your Lord for you, so that he did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, then we can be absolutely confident in true saving faith that nothing can be against us, neither tribulation nor distress nor persecution nor famine nor nakedness nor danger nor sword, not even death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation. For the Lord who made heaven and earth is your help, your Lord. Jesus asks, but who do you say that I am? Our lesson today from the Gospel of Mark confronts us with this question, just as we are confronted with this question every time we read the scriptures. And here we find the eyewitness testimony of the apostles that Jesus is both true God and true man. But here we also find that blessed truth, inspired by the Holy Spirit, who creates saving faith in your hearts, that Jesus Christ is your Lord, God for you. He loves you. He forgives you all your sins. And this is the confession of faith that conquers Satan, defeats death, and silences hell itself. This is the confession that brings peace to troubled consciences and joy to those who are in darkness and in the shadow of death. And so, who do you say that Jesus is? By the grace of God, your answer is this. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, and also true man born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.